It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements. An enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history. From Eden to Mount Hermon. From Hermon to Babel. From Babel to Rome. From Rome to the cross. And from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes. And to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
The Trumpet Judgments. Welcome to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
Hi, I'm Sharon Gilbert, and you can see we're in Studio G today. We got kicked out of the studio last week, so, you know, Joey's working on a couple of trailers that are very, very important. So we very quietly left and said, we'll do this at home.
So this is nice because we get to sit a lot closer together here than on the regular set, which
much
is actually
closer
a good thing.
And we get to wear shorts or jammy bottoms or, you know, whatever we want to, because all you see is from the desk. Well, actually, that's all they see.
That's actually one of the worst kept secrets in professional broadcasting is that those news anchors, unless they're having to stand up in front of a green screen or something, but if they're sitting at a desk, odds are in the summertime, they're only wearing the suit
wearing shorts.
Yeah, the waist up. Shorts,
yeah,
below
shorts.
The desk.
In fact, I have a couple of pictures of Derek wearing his, you know, stuff to be on the set with a guest, but it's shorts. Actually, it's pretty cute. And honestly, we're talking about something pretty horrific today. Mm. The trumpet judgments, and that's what they are. They are trumpet judgments. They're also trumpet warnings, mm-hmm. because the idea of this trumpet being played, these are not the shofars. These are metal, silver trumpets probably, or golden, I don't know. But the trumpets in the temple, the actual trumpet as we recognize a trumpet is silver, so it's possible these are also that will explain the original language when we actually start reading. But before we get to Revelation 8, mm-hmm. let's review just a few verses in Matthew 24, and once we read them, I think you're going to understand why we wanted to start here. I'm going to start reading at probably... Well, actually, there's a lot in here, so I'm going to read. This is the part about the abomination of desolation. Whether or not the signs that the Lord is giving in Matthew 24 are linear, in other words, they proceed along a timeline, one after the other, I can't tell you that that's exactly what happens, because there are a number of things in here. And we know from Bible prophecy, the Lord doesn't always give you a timeline that's neatly packaged. There are a lot of Advent prophecies in the Old Testament that had first and second, sometimes within the same verse. So it was very difficult to tell for the Jews who were expecting Messiah to come. They didn't always know that there would be two Advents, so they expected a certain type of coming. The second Advent, he comes as a king. Mm-hmm. That's what they expected. And he didn't come. He came as a suffering Savior. Mm-hmm. So really quickly, and this is going to be fast, starting with 24:15. Remember, the disciples have asked him to explain what the signs would be. And if you back up to Matthew 23, these are all of the scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites verses where he is yelling at the priests of the time, who should have been the ones to know who he was, mm-hmm. should have expected him, but they had failed completely. And so he's really yelling at them. Bear that in mind when he's speaking here, because he was speaking to what you might call the body of believers, the leaders of the body of believers. Mm-hmm. So leaders within the body of Christ, bear this in mind, because we may not know, we may not recognize the signs. So he reads, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, we talked about this. Read Daniel. Oh my goodness, we're writing about Daniel right now for our new book. There's so much packed into there. But he says, you should let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Well, this is very specific language. And down in verse 20, he says, pray your flight may not be in winter on a Sabbath. Then he goes on down to say, then if anyone says to you in verse 23, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders. This will probably occur. It's occurring now.
Yes.
The spirit of Antichrist is here now. He says in verse 27, for as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Really, really quick, and everybody will see it. Verse 29, here we go. Immediately, that's a Mark word. Mm-hmm, he loved the word immediately. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and when all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. Boom. There is the word. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, then from one end of heaven to the other. Why did I start with this? Because it's the same word trumpet here. It is salpigix. In fact, I need to look up the pronunciation of that. Salpinx. So salpinx is the word used here. It's the same word used in the book of Revelation that Derek's going to read the verses. But right here, we get language that explains why some people believe the rapture occurs at the end of the tribulation period. We don't believe that.
Correct. Right.
But you can see from this language why it's very, very easy for us to be confused. There's a reason for that. Because the Lord, best general ever, is confusing the enemy.
Absolutely. Well, and I just want to point out one thing that I hadn't noticed before, because in this, this is part of the Olivet Discourse. Mm-hmm. And you get the Olivet Discourse in three of the Gospels. You also see it in Mark chapter 13 mm-hmm. and in Luke chapter 21.
Yes.
And Mark 13 echoes what Matthew wrote, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is the wording used by the prophet Daniel. But Luke writes it this way in Luke 21:20, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near.
Oh, that's different.
Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it, for these are the days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Now, that is an already but not yet, which is
yes.
what you were saying. But that is why many of the Christians who were in Jerusalem when the armies of Rome surrounded the city before the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD got out of town.
Yes.
Because they understood it this way as well as the abomination of desolation, which was an already but not yet fulfillment in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes in mm-hmm. the 2nd century BC. He was the Greek ruler of the Seleucid Empire based in Syria mm-hmm. who set up an idol to Zeus inside the temple.
That's just it. He did not set up an idol of himself.
Right.
There are he set up one of Zeus.
Yeah. Who the preterists who believe that everything in Revelation has already been fulfilled will point to Antiochus as the fulfillment of Daniel's Antichrist prophecy.
He was a foreshadow of it.
He was a foreshadowing of it. Exactly right. So anyway, just wanted to point that out. But yes, we get into Revelation and then we get to the opening of the seals, and the seal opening of the seventh seal then begins the trumpet judgments.
Right.
And we started
six, verse six?
Yes, starting in verse 6. Now, we started on the first trumpet. We'll dig deeper into that this week. Now, the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And we talked about this last week, how this echoes the judgment on the plague that was sent on Egypt, and how God sent forth a company of destroying angels.
Yes.
One named Barad, hail, and then the Reshephim, who brought the thunderbolts, who destroyed the cattle and the crops of Egypt. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now imagine what it's going to be like on earth when you got a third a third of the vegetation on Earth suddenly gone.
Now, let me tell you, on Earth right now, there is a movement within the World Economic Forum, and we've probably talked about this on Unraveling before, but I know we've discussed it on Sci-Friday. It's called The Great Reset. I'm reading a book right now by Carl Schwab, who is essentially the king of the World Economic Forum. He doesn't go by that title, but he may as well be. Mm-hmm. He sort of arranged it all, and he is trying to tie the whole world together under an economic yoke, this new world order he's calling the Great Reset. And he believes that COVID-19, in fact, the book is called COVID-19 and the Great Reset. Mm-hmm. He believes that COVID-19 is going to be one of the initiating triggers to essentially erase everything that's going on in the world now. The world systems will collapse, and we have to have a new world order. He said, we've seen this before in the past. It's going to happen again. It will happen very, very quickly, building on slow changes that have been taking place for a while. Read that as treaties that have been put in place. But the second leg of that event is climate change. Mm-hmm. And he really believes that the world is going to just go to heck in a handbasket because of man changing everything. When this happens, if the Great Reset has not yet occurred, look, this will be used by the enemy. This will be used by the Antichrist. This will be used by humans and spirits to force this change.
Right, right. Look, this is all natural. This is because we have abused Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. Gaia is angry with us, and we must repent of our environmental sins.
Yeah.
That's how this is going to be spun. And it's not a coincidence that Prince Charles was with Mr. Schwab when they rolled out this, announced the coming plan. Now, this is going to be rolled out at a World Economic Forum meeting in January. So we're going to be paying close attention to this as we get into 2021. And in fact, Sharon has written about this for a forthcoming book from Defender Publishing, into which many of us contributed. Tom Horn, the two of us, other of our colleagues at Skywatch TV. That'll be coming out before Christmas, but the Great Reset is clearly a part of this, because as part of this, the area that I focused on was the economic reset. Mm-hmm. And this gets back to what we discussed in Chapter 6 of Revelation with the third rider, the rider on the black horse, and the zugos, the scales, which are actually a yoke.
It's exactly what they are.
We are the oxen that they want to yoke into this new global economic system, mm-hmm. part of the Great Reset. So that's that is the first trumpet. Do you want to take a break, and then we'll come back on the second trumpet?
Let's go ahead and take a break.
Okay, because we got some really interesting ideas about the second trumpet and the burning mountain that falls into the sea.
Yeah,
that's next on Unraveling Revelation.
Millions of Americans are suffering a health crisis epidemic right now, completely unnecessarily. But what if I told you it didn't have to be this way? The truth for many is that the real culprit of modern disease is simply a lack of God-given knowledge. In Unlocking Eden, we provide hopeful, scientifically supported revelations regarding how you can access freedom from the bondages of disease. Skywatch TV is proud to announce the Unlocking Eden Special Collection. From the importance of detoxification, circadian rhythm, intermittent fasting, and unburdening metabolic pathways, to maximizing immunity, methylation, and absolute essentials like quality sleep, Unlocking Eden is filled cover to cover with groundbreaking information that can help unlock the body's natural healing mechanisms, which can revolutionize your health and your life. In this incredible special collection from Skywatch TV, you'll also receive the Unlocking Eden companion DVD, featuring the entire 4-week television series on Unlocking Eden and special content with my co-author Daniel Belt and I on securing some of nature's most powerful antiviral nutrition during seasons of virus, flu, and so much more. We're also including the never-before-released special edition Eden's Essentials publication, featuring special reports on gut health, chronic pain and sleep management, fermented foods, and so much more. You'll also receive the Eden's Essentials Founders Vision DVD, featuring interviews with Dr. Thomas Horn and Daniel Belt and I on our vision to provide nutrient-dense supplements derived directly from non-genetically modified foods, grown from clean soil, free of pesticides, herbicides, and biosediments to achieve the highest degree of health possible. And because we want to provide you with every tool possible to achieve optimal wellness, we're including for the first time ever, absolutely free, the international best-selling book, Time Bomb, with companion DVD. This unprecedented, groundbreaking combination reveals how to easily read food labels to avoid toxic ingredients like GMOs, pesticides, and other biosediments, what leaky gut syndrome is and how to reverse it, what neuroscience says about the miraculous gut-brain connection, and more. Featuring healthcare professionals like Dr. Ralph Umbriaco, Dr. Joshua Vance, and Dr. Matthew Sams on how to achieve your optimal physiological health. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $150. Yours now for a donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So revolutionize your health, maximize your immunity, and restore your vitality. The Unlocking Eden Special Collection, available now at the SkyWatch TV store online. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation from SkyWatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
Hi, I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we're in Studio G talking about Revelation 8. If this is your first time watching Unraveling Revelation, welcome to the club, so to speak. But you can go back and watch all the programs. There is a SkyWatch TV app that you can download to any of your mobile devices. But also, we're on just about every... We're on, you know, Roku and
YouTube,
and
Roku,
and,
Apple TV even. And, of course, you'll find our website has got the most recent videos going back about 5 months or so at unravelingrevelation.tv.
And we're also on PTL.
Yes, PTL Network. God bless them for adding us to their network, so which means we're now on over-the-air television, actually, in markets like Salt Lake City and Sacramento, California, and others. So welcome if you're new to the PTL Network and new to Unraveling Revelation. We appreciate you joining us.
We certainly do. And by the way, if you are wondering about the conferences, there are lots of them that we've been involved with and will be involved with. Sadly, not everybody can get together in person this year, so go to gilberthouse.org. Is that the best place to go?
Gilberthouse.org to find out where we are. And, of course, you can also find a schedule of upcoming events from SkyWatch TV. SkyWatchTV.com/schedule will give you the same information.
So angel number two.
The second angel, Revelation 8, beginning at verse 8. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood.
Oh, boy, you could spend an hour just on this verse.
Right. Now, and I add verse 9 here because it's this very short section here. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, it's our contention that oftentimes in the past, in looking at the prophecies of Revelation, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, you know, the opening of the abyss, we look for natural explanations.
Yeah.
For to explain these things that John was shown. I think when we dig deeper into, the Greek and the Hebrew and understand what the neighbors of the ancient Israelites, the Jews, believed, we see that they're really, the prophets and apostles were referring to supernatural entities. And I think that's the case here.
I think so too. And it gets into research that you have done. So I'm going to let you run with this one, okay?
This is something that it will also be part of the forthcoming book from Tom Horn. When we look at what the Jews believed during the Second Temple period, that was the period between the return from Babylon and the destruction of the temple by the Romans in 70 AD. So that includes the period of Jesus, the apostles, John the Revelator, and so on. We understand that they saw stars and burning mountains as a euphemism for inhabitants of the angelic realm, angels.
And in one case, it's actually the name of one of them.
Yes, yes. A very old entity called Enlil, who was the king of the Sumerian pantheon 2,500 years before John. I mean, think about that. That's more time between Enlil ascending to the kingship of the Mesopotamian pantheon than between John and us.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of time scale we're looking at here.
But it shows the persistence of these fallen angels and their influence.
Right. And he was literally referred to as Great Mountain. And we'd mentioned that before, that in Zechariah 4, the prophet saying, "Who are you, O Great Mountain? Before Zerubbabel, who rebuilt the temple, you will become a plain." Well, in the book of Enoch, 1 Enoch, which was not in the Bible, but it was referenced in the New Testament, and we refer you to the excellent book by Dr. Michael Heiser, Reversing Hermon. That's a reference to Mount Hermon, where the watchers the angels who sinned, the Genesis 6 sons of God, who descended, according to the Book of Enoch, to Mount Hermon,
yes,
to swear a mutual oath, binding one another to go ahead and corrupt humanity, not only by taking wives, but by teaching us things we weren't supposed to know. When you go deeper into Enoch, you go to Enoch, 1 Enoch chapter 18, you see this description, and I'm going to read from the what's called a Hermeneia translation by a scholar of the Book of Enoch. He's a professor emeritus, University of Iowa, George W. E. Nicholsberg.
Oh, yeah.
Beyond this chasm, I saw a place where there was neither firmament of heaven above, nor firmly founded earth beneath it. Neither was there water on it, nor bird, but the place was desolate and fearful. There I saw seven stars like great burning mountains. To me, when I inquired about them, the angel said, "This place is the end of heaven and earth. This has become a prison for the stars and the hosts of heaven."
Oh my.
The heavenly army. "The stars that are rolling over in the fire, these are they that transgressed the command of the Lord in the beginning of their rising."
Well, hold on, because I've got a question. You may too. You said the heavenly army.
Yes.
The heavenly army are in a prison?
The heavenly host, those who rebelled against God.
Oh, okay. The rebel army.
Right. Rebellious.
Members.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we actually see that in Deuteronomy 4, verses 19 and 20, where God tells Moses to warn the Israelites, "Do not bow down and worship the sun, the moon, and the host of heaven, all those that were allotted to the nations for their gods."
Yes. And you'll notice sometimes when angels come to give a prophecy to a human and the human starts to worship the angel, no.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, we'll see that later in the book of Revelation, in fact. So these are the stars. These are they that transgressed the command of the Lord in the beginning of their rising, for they did not come out in their appointed times. And he was angry with them and bound them until the time of the consummation of their sins, 10,000 years.
What an interesting phrase. Did not come out in their appointed times.
Mm-hmm. And then later we see another reference to a great chasm. This is in chapter 19. Among pillars of heavenly fire, and I saw in it pillars of fire descending, and they were immeasurable toward the depth and toward the height. And Uriel, one of the archangels we discussed last week, said to me, "There stand the angels who mingled with the women, and their spirits, having assumed many forms, bring destruction on men and lead them astray to sacrifice to demons as to gods until the day of the great judgment, in which they will be judged with finality." In other words, the spirits of these fallen angels, even though they're bound and in flames, are still influencing humanity today, like the spirits of their progeny, the Nephilim, who were destroyed in the flood.
Exactly, which is exactly how I write it in the Red Wing Saga.
Yes. So we see, again, another depiction, and this was standard Jewish religious thought during the period of the apostles. Chapter 21, another reference here. "There I saw a terrible thing. I saw neither heaven above nor firmly founded earth, but a chaotic and terrible place. And there I saw seven of the stars of heaven bound and thrown in it together like great mountains and burning in fire." And then later Uriel explains, "These are the stars of heaven that transgressed the command of the Lord. They have been bound here until 10,000 years are fulfilled, the time of their sins." These would be roughly equated in Greek thought to the Titans.
Yes.
Who had been bound in the abyss until, well, in Greek cosmology, they're there forever. But we know in Revelation 9, the abyss, the bottomless pit, opens and these things come out.
So can we then assume that all of the judgments have spiritual explanations?
I think so. As with last week, where we saw the hail and the fire, that when we compare it with the plague that hit Egypt, and you see the description in the Psalm 78, that this was a company of destroying angels, I think that's what we're seeing here. And the scriptural support, now you may say, well, we're not going to look at the book of Enoch to explain the Bible, are we? Well, maybe to help understand the Bible a little better, but we have to depend on the scripture itself,
yes,
the canon of scripture, to prove our point. Otherwise, we just have to hold it as a theory. But in Ezekiel 28, when God is condemning the rebel from Eden, in Ezekiel 28:13, "You were in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was your covering." And interestingly, Enoch describes some of these mountains as looking like, you know, covered in gems and jewels.
Yes.
Then verse 14, "You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, you walked."
Yeah, stones of fire.
"And I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." That, I believe, is a reference to the spirit beings who inhabited the Garden of God in Eden.
The seven burning mountains?
Very possibly, before they were punished. But we know that the nakash, the serpent in Eden, that nakash in its root form is also an adjective that means something like burnished brass or polished brass, gleaming.
Yeah.
And that the seraphim, seraph, the root word, means burning in Hebrew. So seraphim literally could mean burning ones. So
oh my gosh,
I think we're fitting all the pieces together. And interestingly, you remember the verse in Hebrews that is quoted, quote Psalm 104, verses 3 and 4. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes his cloud, or the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. And by the way, this is storm god language.
Yes, it is.
Where the psalmist is saying that Yahweh is the one who rides the clouds, not Baal. Then verse 4, he makes his messengers winds, or literally, he makes his angels, malachim, spirits, ruach.
That's from Elijah.
Yep.
That is from the oratory of Elijah.
Right.
Yes.
His ministers of flaming fire.
Exactly. That's
so
in there.
I don't think we're stretching things too far to say that this second trumpet judgment, the great mountain burning like fire that brings destruction to the sea, is an angel who's been tasked with this job by God.
You know, if, again, we talked about in chapter 7, we have silence in heaven. We have the sealing of the 144,000. We have the sudden appearance of a multitude that cannot be numbered, and they're from every tribe, nation, and tongue, which we believe may represent the rapture. It seems to be the most likely representation of a history of believers suddenly being raptured, along with the dead, you know, everybody. So I think that these are things that happen after the rapture. Exactly. When day one of that final 7-year period is, we don't know. But I find it ironic that we've got this book by Carl Schwab, who is talking about setting up a new world order, which sounds like a man-created version of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a brand new world that is just going to be awesome. But the Lord is going to come in, and he's going to say, no. I'm going to totally disrupt your new world order because it is a blasphemous order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And there are there's more destruction to come as we get deeper into the trumpet judgments. And then when the bowls start pouring,
that's just it. Think of these trumpets as warnings, those bowls, because time is no more. The whole mystery of God is done, which we'll find in later verses. It's done, so it's just judgment time.
Yeah.
Judgment on the fallen and those humans who decide that they're going to side with them.
Well, next week should be really fascinating as we get into the subject of Tom Horn's recent book, The Wormwood Prophecy.
Yes. If you haven't ordered that yet, order it.
Oh, yes. The third angel blows his trumpet, and another star blazing like a torch falls from heaven called Wormwood. That will be next week on Unraveling Revelation. Don't miss it. Thank you for watching. This is Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV.